Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20. Now, what we're going to be looking at here today is this. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You got a good proverb here that admonishes you as a Christian to handle your matters wisely, with the promise that if you do, you will find good, and admonishes you and I to trust the Lord, and if we do, we'll be happy. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The object of this proverb is to help you handle your matters so that the end result is good and so that you're happy. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing. God wants the things you do and the things that I do to turn out good. He even gives us a promise in Romans 8:28 about that. And we frequently quote that verse of Scripture because, I mean, who doesn't want things to turn out good or well or right? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So that's a wonderful thing that God wants the things we do to turn out right, to work together for good. And so the object of this prophecy is to make that, or this proverb is to make that happen, and also to ensure that you're happy, because God desires your joy and your happiness. Now, there's hardly a greater satisfaction in anything that we do than being able to be happy while coming out with good results. I mean, how about being happy when you're doing the work that you do and then finding out that when you finish the work that you do, everything turned out right? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be the richest or the most successful person by the world's standards. But it does mean that when all is done, you yourself will be happy and the results will be good. Take, for instance, Paul. By the world's standards, Paul was just a has-been, somebody that was just out there stirring up trouble. But yet Paul was happy. Paul was happy, and his results were excellent. As a matter of fact, we are still reaping the benefits of the things that he did while he was in jail. He wrote epistles from jail that we still read today. Those are excellent results. They've gone on for thousands of years. Hundreds of years. You know, when he wrote, that was probably almost 2,000 years ago. You know, by the world's standards, Paul was a failure. He was locked up at the end of his life. No one to stand with him except for Luke, who was a doctor. Now, that doesn't sound like much of a score as far as the world is concerned, but we have a different score, and we know that Paul was happy, and we know that his results were excellent. Now, lots of men with far greater wealth than Paul ever had or ever hoped to have, lots of men with far greater wealth than you have and than I have, and that I have far greater wealth than we ever will hope to have, and people who had many more friends than we have killed themselves trying to achieve their goals, and toward the end, before they had collapsed, were under the weight of their work, and they were absolutely miserable. And I'll tell you, one of the best illustrations that I've ever seen. Years ago, we had the opportunity. We traveled for 2 months. We went up the East Coast, and we spent a fair amount of time in Louisiana looking at and touring some of those old plantation homes that were there. Beautiful homes. Gorgeous. As a matter of fact, they had them set up in some cases as beds and breakfast, and so we were able to stay in those some of those plantation homes. And invariably, we'd go from home to home touring. The ladies that were showing the houses would say, Captain so-and-so or Mr. so-and-so, owned all of this land, had large plantations, was very successful, might have had steamboats running up and down the Mississippi River, whatever the case may be. But all of them were very successful, and all of them started these great mansions, and all of them died young before those mansions were completed, before those plantation homes were completed. Maybe one or two survived, but for the most part, they were so burdened by the weight of all of their responsibilities in getting this wealth that they didn't even live to see the completion of their projects. They died doing all that. That's not good. That's not good, and that's not a happy situation, leaving a widow with all of that responsibility, let me tell you. So in order for you and I to have good results and be happy along the way, you have to handle your matters wisely, and you're going to have to trust in the Lord. That's what it says here. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. So if you want to have good results, you're going to have to handle your matters wisely. And if you want to be happy, you're going to have to trust the Lord. The proverb says, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Okay? So if you've got that type of desire, and I certainly do, then how are you and how am I going to do this proverb? How are we going to handle our matters wisely? And how are we going to trust the Lord so that we can be happy and so that the results are good? Well, frankly, there are lots of things that could be said. I'm convinced of that. I'm going to tell you a few that are from the Bible and also from practical experience. I'm sure after I finish this message, I'll be able to think of another six or seven things that I should have said. But look, we can only give you so much, right? And you can only take and employ so much. So let's do this. Let's just take them. They're somewhat random, but they all are important. And the first thing we'll say is this. Take your time. Take your time. Be patient. If you want to handle your matters wisely and you want to trust in the Lord, then you are going to have to give God time to show you, and you're going to have to give time for God to work out the circumstances surrounding the things that you're involved in, like your marriage and like rearing your children and like your business and like your church. Take your time. In other words, you're going to need to be patient. Now in James chapter 1, verse 4, we read this, and I'm in the middle of a context, I understand, but it's a very valid point here. In James chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, to be perfect and entire certainly is good, and wanting nothing means that you're certainly going to be happy. And notice, since this thing has to do with handling matters wisely, wisdom is in the context. Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So take your time. Be patient. You've got to give time for God to work out the circumstances and reveal to you the direction if you want the matters that you're dealing with to turn out right. Patience is closely associated with wisdom in the context. And let me give you a couple of examples of men who employed patience and wisdom and trust of the Lord and were happy and had things turn out right. The first one is Joseph. Now, you remember Joseph had some dreams when he was younger, and he was excited about the dreams, and he told those dreams to his father, and he told those dreams to his brethren. And, of course, they became very jealous, very envious, and they decided they didn't like the things that he was dreaming up, and so they wanted to do something to hurt him. As a matter of fact, they wanted to kill him. They didn't. They sold him into slavery into Egypt, as you know. Well, you know, if you calculate the years that he was in prison about 12 or 13 years for a crime that he did not commit. He was accused by Potiphar's wife of trying to make advances on her, when in fact she was the one that was making advances on him. So he wound up in jail. What did he do? Well, he became a trustee. While he was in prison, he handled matters wisely so that he was given the charge of everything that was going on in the prison, and the prison keeper, the warden, didn't have to worry about anything. Joseph handled everything properly. And eventually, as you know, Joseph interpreted dreams for the butler and for the baker. News eventually got back to Pharaoh, maybe 2 years later, and Pharaoh called upon Joseph to interpret dreams that he had had and made Joseph the second ruler in the entire country. Well, I'll tell you what, in 12 years or 13 years of prison, he could have spent about that much time getting a college and postgraduate education in a school, and that's about like being in prison, according to some of the college students. And yet he came out second in command, and there are a whole lots of college students that have studied that many years, and they're not in second command of this country. That was quite an accomplishment. How did that work out? Well, he couldn't change the circumstances he was in. He could have pled for his innocence. It would have done no good, so he simply waited. He trusted in the Lord. He made himself, he did the very best that he could while he was in prison. I'm sure that gave him some happiness, and things really turned out good for him. He handled his matters wisely and found good. David is another one. David was anointed king when he was a very young man, and Saul, of course, realized that David was going to be the heir to the throne. And Saul had a son named Jonathan, and he certainly wanted Jonathan to be the heir to the throne more than he wanted David to be the heir to the throne. And so he attacked David on several occasions and tried to kill him because he was envious. And David handled himself very wisely. As a matter of fact, he had two golden opportunities to kill Saul and did not do it. He said he wouldn't do it. He said, listen, he's going to go into battle and die. He'll die of natural causes, or the Lord will kill him. But he won't die at my hand because he is the Lord's anointed. And David was extremely wise there and extremely patient. Take your time. David had to wait. You know, if he was 17 when he got anointed and he was 30 when he took the throne, he had to wait 13 years. Joseph had to wait 13 years. Give it some time. Give it some time. Don't be in such a rush. That's the first way to handle your matters wisely. Be patient. All right, now the second thing in handling your matters wisely, the second thing to do is talk to God. Talk to God. It's in the context of the verse that we saw in James. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. All right, so the second thing to do then is to talk to God, to pray, to ask God for wisdom. I mean, if you want to handle a matter wisely and you want to trust the Lord at the same time, what better way can you do that than to seek the counsel of God Almighty? You say, well, how's God going to let me know? I don't know exactly how he's going to let you know, but I know he will. I know he will. I hear preachers preach. Sometimes they said, and God said to me to do such and such, and I suppose God told them as some way that they knew he was speaking to them. I don't hear audible voices from the Lord, but I'll tell you, when it comes time to doing something after I've prayed, there's an inner peace, a confidence that the direction set is the direction I should go. You know, that's what he said. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's a certain peace that comes from talking to God and seeking his wisdom, that the decision you're about to make is the right decision. Others may have ways of seeing the circumstances unfold before them, or even some talk about putting out a fleece where they'll say, you know, I'd really like to marry that girl, and if she calls me tonight, I'll know, you know, that God's in it. There's all kind of ways that people do this. I won't tell you exactly how you need to. I'll just tell you this. If God said that he's going to give you wisdom liberally, then he is not going to leave you in the dark. Just be careful not to get contacted with some strange spirits by doing some strange stuff when you're praying. God can make it very obvious to you what he wants you to do. Now listen, I want to caution you about that thing about the strange spirits and all that. You are not more spiritual than your friends just because the thing you're praying about is goofy and way out and superior to any other spiritual thing you've ever seen somebody else do before. That kind of thinking stems from pride, and that's the kind of thinking the devil had when he said that he was going to ascend up there and be as good as God is. Don't go there. Just, as I said, in the first place, be patient, and secondly, talk it over with the Lord. Just pray, and if you're patient and you're seeking God's counsel, he'll show you. He'll show you. Most notably, through the Bible, he'll show you through some other means, don't avoid the strange and goofy stuff, all right? This is not a seance-type religion here, okay? God's not going to go skywriting in the sky and stuff like that, but he'll give you that inner peace, that knowledge that where you're heading is the right direction. I've watched an awful lot of people get messed up in praying to God about things because they're in a big hurry and they're taking the first sign as something that came right from the Lord. Just be careful with that, okay? All right, the third thing to do is stand firmly on the words of God. If you're going to handle matter wisely and you're going to trust the Lord, be patient, talk to God, and then stand firmly on the words of God. And don't compromise. Don't compromise. Always see where God stands on the matter before trying to make your own stand. Get it from the Lord first. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, we find this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, we find this verse. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, so often somebody, when they're getting ready to do something, will go find one verse in the Bible and say, there it is, God spoke to me, no, but I'm talking about that. What I'm talking about is, be a good Bible reader. Know where God stands on everything. In other words, just get in that Bible, read it. Read it till you get to the end of it. Read it again till you get to the end of it. Read it again till you get to the end of it. And be a good Bible reader and know where God stands on things like this world is coming together for peace. And a lot of people are praying for world peace. Do you know where God stands on that? I'll let you in on a secret. He doesn't stand with the world in their pursuit of world peace because they're trying to do it without Jesus Christ, so that it isn't going to work. It's noble and it sounds good, but that's not where God is. Do you know where God stands on the problems between Islam and Christianity? Do you know where God stands between the Jews and Islam? Do you know where he stands on that? You say, well, I saw this terrible retaliation that the Jews did, and they blew up a building that had a lot of children in it, and I'm not happy about what the Jews did, blah, 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 blah. Okay, and of course, you're now getting your read from the media, but be that as it may, do you know where God stands on it? Do you know where God stands with Israel? Do you know where he stands with that? Recently, the Pope has been criticized for making statements about Islam. And now there's a big uproar about that. Do you know where God stands about that statement? Do you know where he stands about Catholicism? You see, when you're trying to make decisions wisely, you have to know where God stands on these things as you are making up your mind where you need to stand. So it's not just based upon word and verse, but it's based upon everything that God said. Now Saul, the one we were talking about before, who chased down David and tried to kill him, Saul lost his kingdom by disobeying God's words. And God has some very specific places he wants you to stand. And if you are disobeying his words when you're handling your matters, then you're not handling your matters wisely, you see? And therefore, they're not going to turn out good, and you're not going to be happy with the results. All right, the next thing to do in handling your matters wisely is to weigh all of the facts. In other words, you better know the truth of a matter before you go trying to fix it, or before you go reacting to it, because your perception can seriously cloud your thinking. So weigh all of the facts. Get as much information as you possibly can about the matter before you decide. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 14, I'm going to give you a little verse of scripture here that really applies to finding out something about false gods, frankly. But the exercise is a wise way to deal with any matter. Deuteronomy 13, verse 14, I'll take it right in the context where it is. It says this, then shalt thou, number one, inquire. So you got to ask some questions. And number two, make search. You got to go behind the questions to see if the answers you got are right. And ask diligently. In other words, the first question may not be the only question you need to ask. And behold, if it be truth and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought among you, then you do certain things about it. So you've got to inquire, make search, ask diligently, and find out whether the thing is the truth or not, and then when you find out that the thing is certain, then you can act on it, okay? That is an excellent, excellent admonition for handling matters wisely. And the reason is we're emotional beings, and we're also beings with a mind, and so we have a certain perception. Well, before you react to something or before you start making decisions about things, you better weigh all of the facts, all of the facts. And in order to know the facts, you got to take some time to dig around and make sure you know what you're dealing with, okay? Otherwise, you're going to find out later that you made a bad decision because you didn't get all of the information that was available to you, and the only person who's going to be to blame there is you. All right, our proverb says, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Well, in order to do that, you've got to take your time, talk to God, stand firmly on the words of God, weigh all of the facts, and then this, breathe through your nose. Breathe through your nose. Now, don't get so worked up. Don't take things so seriously that are not that serious. And people, I'm telling you, we are emotional beings as well as practical beings, and we have a tendency to get overly emotional in certain circumstances, and when we do, we want to manipulate things and intimidate people in order to get our way. And when you do that, you're going to make a bad decision. It may not be a bad decision the first time you pull that stunt, but pretty soon, after a while, it's going to come back to haunt you. When you got to push people around and manipulate the circumstances and intimidate people in order to come your way, they're not on your side. They're coming along with you, but they're not willing, and at the first chance, they will derail that train right out from under you. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You got it? The joy of the Lord is your strength. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to learn to keep a good sense of humor. You're going to have to keep a cool head and a warm heart when you're working through matters and you're trying to be wise about what you're to do. So the admonition is something that comes from a friend of mine, but he said, breathe through your nose. In other words, don't hyperventilate. Don't get so excited. Settle down. Settle down. Don't get so worked up. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples when they were going out into hostile territory to preach the gospel of the kingdom, he said, now guys, be wise as serpents. So he admonished them to be wise, like this proverb admonishes us. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In other words, people ought to be able to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because it is the right and best thing for them. They shouldn't have to be intimidated into it. These religions that win converts by the sword, those are religions that use manipulation and intimidation to get people involved. You know, if you got to push people that hard to make them get on board, something's wrong. Something's wrong. So breathe through your nose because you're likely to make a bad decision and end up friendless and miserable at the end if you get overly worked up about a matter, because you're only going to be hurting yourself. My dad used to tell me that when he and his brothers were growing up, that my grandfather told them, when you got to make tough decisions, tough family decisions, you know, between the boys there or among the boys there, he said, always make those decisions by the swimming pool. That way, when things got too heated, you could jump in the pool and cool off and then come back out and hit it again. That is a tremendous admonition. If you want to handle matters wisely, just be cool. Just be cool. Breathe through your nose. The next thing to do in handling matters wisely is to be honest. People get burned when they pretend. You ever done that? Have you ever pretended to be in agreement with somebody in a particular thing they were about to do, and then toward the end, the fact was you really weren't in agreement. You really had a lot of hesitation about what they were trying to do, but you wanted to be the nice guy. You didn't want to, you know, get all ruffle the feathers from the beginning. You played along with them because you never thought the consequences would be that bad. And all of a sudden now, the consequences are bad. You want out, but now you got to tell them how you really feel. You know what? That's almost impossible to do because that means that what you said before was a lie. So why don't you do this? Why don't you follow what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, and just be honest from the get-go. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, Paul tells us in no uncertain terms to put on the new man, put off the old man, and he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. People say, well, the truth hurts. Sometimes it does. It doesn't have to all of the time, and you don't have to make it hurt just by, you know, pushing hard. But the truth of the matter is, if you've got some reservations about a decision you're trying to make, and it doesn't seem like the right decision to you, then you are going to have to be honest. I've got a friend of mine, and he and I were visiting one time, and every husband really does truly want to get counsel from his wife from time to time about certain things that he's about to do. He may not follow that counsel, but he kind of wants to know where she stands on a matter. Well, you know something? If your husband ever opens the door, an opportunity for you to speak your mind about a thing, and you have a certain reservation, you ought to say so. Husband, if your wife gives you the opportunity to speak on a matter that she's trying to decide, and you have some serious reservations about it, you ought to say so. Because otherwise what's going to happen is that you're going by your silence to give agreement, and then later you're going to have real reservations about it, and it's not going to be a good situation. Years ago in the banking business, a man came making a presentation about a particular investment opportunity, and after the presentation, the wife said, "I've got some real reservations. I don't trust that guy." And you know, a lot of times women have a good intuition about those matters. But the fellow said, "No, all the documentation looks real good to me. They made the investment and lost every penny." She was right. The guy was a crook, and she sensed it. You know what happened? They didn't handle the matter wisely, and the reason is there was a lack of honesty in their discussion about how she really felt about the matter, and she should have been more forthright and said, this is not right for us." All right, and then the last thing about handling matters wisely that we want to say today is this: get help. Don't try to carry the load alone. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of God." Well, that's in there for a reason. In other words, if you're given the admonition to bear one another's burdens, other Christians are also given the same admonition. If there's somebody around here that can help you, let them help. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Let Jesus carry part of the load. And this is a good place for you to talk to others about the things you are proposing to do. This is a good place for you to get counsel from good counselors that can really help you. Like the decision that we had to make to start this church. Man, we sought counsel from some very wise preachers about these matters before we ever started, because we wanted to be absolutely sure we were on good ground, and they helped us immensely, not only in making the decisions, but in helping get started. So if you want to handle matters wisely, so that the things turn out good, so that like it says here, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." You want to be happy with those decisions, then number one, take your time. Be patient. Number two, talk to God. Really pray it out until you're sure you know where God is on the matter. Stand firmly on his words. Do not compromise. Don't bend God's word to your favor to get into something, only to find out later that your disobedience stripped you of any joy and opportunity of having a good result. Weigh all of the facts before you decide anything. Be calm. Breathe through your nose. Breathe through your nose. Just take it easy. So always seek the joy of the Lord. That's where your strength is. Be honest. Be honest with yourself, with God, and with the others. And then get help, because rarely can you do things alone, since we are members of a body, that body being the body of Christ. Now, hopefully the little instructions here will be very, very helpful to you. And hopefully if you're getting ready to make some serious decisions, you can employ these things, and God will bless them to help you end up with a good result and to be very happy with the result when you're done.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.